Shalom, church. It's such a wonderful opportunity to be given to me to share this weekend's message. And, you know, I had a wonderful time this morning as I was preparing for this recording. And one of the things that the Lord put in my heart was to be joyful in all things, to give thanks in all things. I just want to share a short testimony before I start. And it is to do with my frozen shoulder. I've been having this problem for the last 7 months, going to many doctors, physiotherapists, and they all tell me that you need to go on and suffer with this pain. Yesterday morning, as I was meditating on what was going to be preached today, I asked the Lord, "Oh Lord, can you heal me?" And with thanksgiving in my heart, looking at the cross of Jesus Christ, I was healed. And I want to give thanks and praise to the Lord for His mercies in my life. My dear friends, I want to share this message today with you, and it's in the series of growing up. And about 3 weeks ago, we had our sister Rosalind Goh, who shared on growing up as a woman and a mother. And today I will be sharing up growing up in serving. As you know, it takes a village to bring up a child, or to grow a child, or to nurture a child. And here we have a wonderful village, or kampong as I would call it, called the UMC, our church, our community, our body of believers, the local church. And there's no better place to serve or grow up in serving than in being in this, our community that we call the UMC. And it's such a joy to be here together. And I'm just going to share a bit about my background. I am a zone pastor with PJ North 1 and also a district pastor with District Number 3. And I'm married with my wife, Shanti. And we have two children, blessed by God, Nicole and Samuel, who are actively serving in this local community. And they have been sharpened in their serving skills because they have many uncles and aunties in the UMC who have brought them up to serve together. And they have learned many things. And even for me and my wife, we have been interacting with so many people in our church. And we have grown tremendously through serving in our local community. So my friends, before we start further and go on further, I would like to open us in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us so that we can hear His voice and serve Him better. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, O Lord Father, for your mercies that are at work in our lives every day. And Lord, as we speak about you, O Lord Father God, as we talk about you, O Lord Father God, as we learn from you, O Lord Father, we pray that you will transform our lives, O Lord, because it is through your word, O Lord Father, that we are transformed, that we are changed, O Lord Father. So we give you thanks, O Lord Father, and we pray, O Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart, O Lord Father, be acceptable unto you, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture that I'm taking today is taken from the book of John, the 13th chapter, verses 1 to 17. And I would like to invite you to stand as we read this together in honor of God's word. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and beginning to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. My friends, the background of this is Jesus having a meal with his friends, his disciples, just before his great sacrifice on the cross. And they had come back after walking, and the streets were dusty. And it was custom, when you come in, you wash your feet, because you would be sitting at a low table where your feet will be very evident. And here, the disciples were just sitting down and just having a chat. They could have washed each other's feet, but they did not. But Jesus chose to show them love and an example of how they should be as followers of Jesus Christ. So this brings me, my friends, to the big idea. And the big idea is serving one another is not only a privilege, but a command from God. Serving one another is not only a privilege, but a command from God. My first point. Serving one another as I have served you was an example that Jesus wanted to give his disciples and to give us as followers of him. We are called to serve one another. And while we serve one another, we serve God. And to serve in humility, in love, in compassion. That is why it is said in John chapter 13, verse 1, that he wanted to serve them to show the full extent of his love. My friend, serving one another does not have to be complicated. As long as we have Christ in our lives and we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, serving should be a norm. I've had people come and tell me, hey, Pastor, I want to serve, but I need training. I want to serve, but I need instructions. I want to serve, but I want to do big things. And I tell them, serving should be a norm. As long as you have Christ in your life, you should serve one another. And while serving one another, you serve God. It is key, as this was one of his last meetings with his friends, to show them this example that they must serve. Sometimes we plan big things, big ideas, but God's not in those ideas. That is why those plans remain as plans. We just need to do to please him as how Christ has done this. My friends, I would like to share with you a story, a true story that happened many years ago, maybe about 6 to 7 years ago. And to me, I would say serving can be as simple as listening to another person or hearing out another person. See, about 6 to 7 years ago, I was involved in a project to raise up the level of literacy and numeracy among rural folk, especially in Sabah and Sarawak. We had come up with a plan together with the Ministry of Education to basically raise the standard of education of those in primary schools in these various districts in Sabah and Sarawak, from Standard 1 right up to Standard 4. And I was given this great opportunity. It was a 5-year contract with my company. So I was given this great opportunity to visit 31 districts in Sarawak and 24 districts in Sabah. And during one of my visits, after finishing evaluating the teachers who are going to present this program to the students, I was invited to have a drink with the village headman. So I decided to go and meet him and have a drink with him. And we were served something called teh bujang, or single man's tea, meaning it's teh ola, no sugar inside. And he invited me to his place, his house, and we were sitting at his veranda and looking at this vast land that he has. I'm not too sure how big, but it was quite big, maybe about 8 to 9 acres. And he was talking to me and telling me, I'm so happy with the government because every year I'm given 500 ringgit. That is brim. I don't want to mention which government, but you should know when and how. And he was saying, "I, this is enough for me." Then I looked at him and he looked at me and said, you know, you don't approve, don't you? So I said, well, okay, tell me. So he said, look at what is in front of me. So as I looked, I saw paddy fields. I saw chickens. I saw pigs running. He had 2 fish ponds that had freshwater fish. He had all kinds of vegetables. Then I looked back at him. I said, you have everything. He said, wrong. I don't have 2 things. Cooking oil and sugar. So 500 ringgit a year buys me enough cooking oil and enough sugar for the entire year to survive. And although I'm happy, I also need to tell you, we are stuck in this cycle of poverty. And it affects the generations to come, because this is all we can do. From that time, God spoke to my heart to invest in various socio-economic activities in Sarawak and Sabah, mostly in Sarawak. And the few years after that, I started getting involved in pig farms, vegetable, cash crop farms. And over 3 years, these farms started to make money. On the 4th year, I was invited back after we surrendered the farms to the local people to basically have a time of dedication and prayer. So they told me, can you prepare a message for us to share the word of God with us, because we want to give thanks to God for he has been so good to us. So I said, I prepared a simple message. The lady with the issue of blood, my favorite message, 15 minutes message or so. So they picked me up from the airport and we headed off to the kampong. And about almost 2-hour journey, we arrived to the village. So I said, why are there so many cars? And they said, well, we want you to preach in the open field. They gave me a loud hailer, you know, the one that you use in the Pasar Malam, and they asked me, preach the word of God. I was kind of worried because my message was only 15 minutes long. I thought I was just going to speak to some of the leaders, but here they brought almost 3 kampongs together. I would say there were a couple hundred people in that field that day. And praise God, 40 plus people gave their lives to the Lord, whether it was salvation or rededication. When the altar call was made, they raised their hands. You see, my friends, when we serve God through serving one another, we please Him. And we know that obedience brings blessings. And the very next day, they said, can you baptize us? And my friends, this was actually a baptism in a river. Sarawak is a land filled with rivers. So at the back of this kampong, there was a beautiful river, very clear, a lot of fish. And said, can you baptize us here tomorrow? So I said, okay, done, let's do this. I would like to feel how John the Baptist felt, you know, at least have the experience. And I baptized 42 people the very next day. But the joke is this. As I was baptizing them, I lost my footing, and the second guy started to float away. But thank God, nothing happened. So they were saying, don't worry, even if he floats away, he will just end up on the bank because the river is like a snake river. It moves all over. So following Jesus, serving him, pleases God. So my message to you for first point is this. Jesus has had set an example of serving one another. Serving can be as simple as just listening to a friend, calling a neighbor, calling a long-lost friend, hearing them out, especially during this time where the COVID is so bad. People are suffering. They need friends. And we are in the position as Christians, having the Spirit of God in us, having compassion to hear them out. Serving, following the steps of Jesus, brings many blessings. My second point is this. When we serve God, we need to be mindful of our sinful nature. When we serve, we need to be mindful of our sinful nature. We need to be very careful in this area, as at times we get lost in serving. And as we get lost in serving, sin starts to creep in. In John chapter 13, verse 8, where Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus replied to him, which may have caused him to have a shock, is, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." Prompting Peter, whose love for the Lord was genuine, to request a complete washing. Then Jesus explained the true meaning of being washed by him. Peter had experienced the cleansing of salvation and did not need to be washed again in the spiritual sense. As salvation is a one-time act of justification by faith. But the lifelong process of sanctification is one of washing from the stain of sin we experience as we walk through the world. We do need continual cleansing from living in the flesh in a sin-cursed world. And this continual washing of sanctification is done by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us through the washing with water by the word, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, so that we can be equipped for every good work. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, it reads, "All scripture is breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So it is important, my friends, to be mindful that as we serve, as we follow Jesus, as we follow his ways, we need to be mindful of sin that easily can ensnare us. If we are not careful, the ministry that we serve in will become an object of or an idol. And that does not please God. Because we are here to serve him, to serve one another, not serve the ministry. The ministry is a mere vehicle for us to serve God well. This is my second story, and it's called The Poster War. In 1994-1995, when I was in the UK studying, I was part of a church that was very evangelistic in nature. We would go tracking, giving out tracts. And those days, we didn't have social media, so we were given posters to put up at areas designated for advertisement, especially in local council areas and, of course, on university. And we would print posters almost every week to share what is going to happen in church, speakers who are coming, healing revival meetings, healing rallies, which were happening. But we had a competition. It was the LGBT group who was competing with us for this poster space. And being from Malaysia, we somehow know to adjust things. And when they put up their posters, I would go out at night, about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I'll tear down those posters and I would put up the other posters of our church, of our meetings. And this was a poster war that went on for weeks and months. And after some time, as I was sitting down and having devotion with my team members, the evangelistic team, God pointed in our hearts that this is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. Your pride has come in. You wanted to outdo somebody else. You wanted to put them down. And this is not pleased me at all. So the very next week, we made an appointment to visit the LGBT Association headquarters to meet up with the secretary. And we had a chat. I, on behalf of the church, apologized to her for what we had done. And with that action, peace was restored. There was the end of the poster wars. But you know what happened, my friends? About 6 months later, when we had a healing rally that happened on campus, this secretary came. She wanted healing in her life. I do not know whether she accepted Jesus, but I know that she was looking for Jesus. So, as we serve, we need to be mindful of our sinful nature. Be careful not to offend any others. Be careful not to take our ministry as an idol. Sometimes we serve our ministry more than we serve God. And that's when we get stuck. So be careful, my friends. Be careful. My third and final point. Seeking preeminence while serving God or one another displeases God. Seeking preeminence when serving God or one another displeases God. Jesus' attitude of servanthood was in direct contrast to that of his disciples, who had recently been arguing among themselves as to which of them was the greatest. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24, it says, a dispute arose among them as to which of them is or was considered to be the greatest. Here, with a simple duty, they could have washed each other's feet. But they did not. They were in the position to serve, but they did not. They were more interested in who was the greatest. And you and I know, my friends, we serve him who is above all things. We are mere servants. We are mere servants. He is the King of Kings. He is the object to be praised, not ourselves. And this trend has continued to this very time, where people serve because they want acknowledgement. People serve because they want a name. People serve because they want to be known. And some of the most weird things happen when you look at social media. And, you know, they'll tell the whole world what they're doing. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm serving. Is it wrong? Not really, if you have the right motives. If you're doing it to create awareness, that is fine. But some people are selfish. They want to have the preeminence. This is what I'm doing. We must remember that we are servants of the Most High God. Matthew 19 verses 30 says, but many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. And this is the part where I want to talk about the ministries in our village, my friends. You know, as serving as a pastor here, I get to see various different ministries serving. You know, these guys who are in this ministry called the Dew Crew, you don't see them. You see them sometimes standing on the stage and, you know, with the cameras, and you see them sometimes, you don't see them sometimes at the audio room doing a lot of work. These guys are serving without being recognized. And these guys are amazing. Actually, to me, these guys are my heroes. You know why? Because they serve without any acknowledgement. They just serve without any being preeminent and saying, I am serving. The other ministry is the security ministry, which I'm the head of the ministry. You know, these guys go out and patrol the church perimeter. You know, we're all worshiping in church and we're hearing the messages, sitting in the aircon. But these guys go out there and serve. And one thing I learned about this ministry when I joined them, before they start anything, they will come together and have a prayer huddle, asking God to bless the church, protect the people, and of course, protect themselves from harm's way. There's so many ministries in our village, my dear friends. Your cell groups that you belong to, and if you do not belong to a cell group, please join one. Because this is an amazing place where you can serve God. The cell leaders that pray for you, for the members, the zone leaders that pray for the cell leaders. There's so many people doing many things, not looking for a name. And that's how it should be. Serving without getting a name, without being bigger than the next person, serving as a team, serving as a family. And that is the beauty of growing in this village called the UMC. So I want to encourage you, next time when you see these people, the Dew Crew, the security ministry, the ushers, there's so many of these guys serving. They are serving without looking for recognition. Bless them. Greet them. Send them a message of love. Because they're serving God to honor Him. My friends, these are the 3 points that I want to bring to you today. I pray that we will be blessed as we heard these points. So let me do a tie-up of the points. The first is serving one another as I have served you, Jesus' words, following His example. The second is serving God is to be mindful of our sinful nature, that we are surrounded by sin. And if we are not careful, our ministry or our serving becomes an idol. And that does not please God. And the third thing is to not seek preeminence when serving God. For this displeases God. So I pray that this message has blessed you. And I would like to pray for all of us. So the first thing I would like to do is to pray for those who would like to get involved in serving. And if you do want to get involved in serving, you can find all kinds of information on our website, the UMC website, where you can join the various ministries. You can join a cell group. If you're not in a cell group, please join a cell group, because that is your family, your spiritual family, where you can grow serving. And then after that, I would like to pray for those who do not know Jesus and would like to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And then after that, we'll close. So let us pray. Father in heaven, as we have seen through your message, O Lord God, in John chapter 13, of how you washed the feet of your disciples, although you did not have to, but you wanted to show them the full extent of your love, that is to serve them wholeheartedly, with humility. So Lord, I pray, O Lord Father, for those who are tuning in, O Lord, that you will stir in their hearts a desire to grow up serving. And there's no better place than to grow up serving in the church, because we can sharpen our skills and take these skills outside to serve the world. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, O Lord, that, Lord, you will stir in their hearts a desire to serve. And Father, we also want to pray for those who do not know you. O Lord, I pray for their hearts to be stirred to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know, Lord, that without you, we suffer eternal death. But through you, we have the hope of salvation. We have the hope of going to be with you in heaven as one family. So my friends, I'm going to lead you in the sinner's prayer. And as you say this, believe it in your heart that you have accepted Jesus into your life and you are eternally saved by Him through His sacrifice on the cross. Let us say the sinner's prayer together. Lord Jesus, we come to you as sinners. We come to you knowing that you hold the key to life, life eternal. We come to you asking that you would come into our lives, that you'll make your home in us, that you'll build us up through your word, Lord God. We believe that you died on the cross to take away the sins of mankind, and that on the third day you rose again to the fulfillment of Scripture. So, Lord Jesus, we invite you, come into our lives, make your home with us, and help us grow in you, so that we can have eternal life. My friends, if you have said this prayer, I congratulate you and I welcome you into the family of Christ. And on your screens, there's a raise hand button. I would appreciate it if you would just press on that button so that our team can be in touch with you, to share with you even more in your new journey as a believer in Jesus Christ. And for the rest of you, my dear friends, thank you for joining us in this time. And if you have any prayer needs, there's a prayer request button that you can press, and our pastors and prayer host will be ready to pray along with you. So as we come to an end, I would like to do a prayer benediction as we close this service. Let us remember that Christ died for us. Let us remember that Christ holds our lives in His hands. And even though there is such a great pandemic going on, Jesus is in control. God is in control of every circumstance. And all we have to do is place our trust in Him, meditate on His word, and go forth and do His bidding. Grow up serving. Let us pray. So let's bow our heads to pray for God's blessings. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.